this week is the first Sunday in Advent. And the theme for the first Sunday in Advent is hope. It's hope. And as we look at one of the main characters of the Christmas story this morning, I think we're going to see a simple aspect to this individual's life, and we're going to see a complex situation in this individual's life. And we're going to see the simplicity of Christmas and recognize today that there is hope in the middle of the simple yet complex situations in life. I invite your attention to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. We want to read through verse 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. How many times have you read or heard this portion of the Christmas narrative read? When we think of the Christmas story, who are the main characters that come to mind? Let me give you who I believe the main characters are. We have Mary. We have Joseph. Of course, we have shepherds, the magi, angels, and we dare not forget the centerpiece, Jesus. These are the main characters of the Christmas narrative. We want to look at just this man named Joseph. Who is he? What do we know about him? What are the circumstances he was dealing with? What were the simple things going on in his life? What were the complex issues that he faced? So here are a few things about Joseph that we know from the scripture. Number one, Joseph was a Jew. Joseph was a Jew. And you say, how do we know that? So say, how do we know that? Okay, glad you asked. That's a great question. If your Bibles are still open to Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17 is the genealogical record of Joseph. Now, let's stop right here. Joseph was Jesus' adopted father, right? He was not his biological father. He was his earthly father, his adopted father. Well, the reason we know that Joseph was a Jew is because of the genealogical record presented in verses 1 through 17. Matthew goes all the way back to Abraham. Who is Abraham? The father of the Jews. He goes through from Abraham all the way to Joseph. Now, what's interesting is, as you go through this genealogical list, it's divided into three sections, each of them 16 generations, ultimately to Joseph. Here are some familiar names: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These are the patriarchs. You have Boaz. Remember, he was married to Ruth, who was a Moabite. But Ruth is the great-grandmother of a very famous king named David. So we have King David in there. We have Solomon, David's son by virtue of Bathsheba. There's even a really wicked king in there named Manasseh, the most wicked king of Judah, all in Joseph's genealogical record. There are three women who are mentioned in this record: Tamar, Ruth. Both of those are mentioned by name, and then Bathsheba is mentioned by inference. Then what does this confirm? It confirms that Joseph was Jewish. Secondly, we know this. Joseph lived in Nazareth. If we turn to Luke chapter 2, we get this information that says that Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. All right? So he was living in the little village of Nazareth. They tell us that it was probably a village at that time of between 200 to 400 people, a very, very small village. We know this, that was not his hometown. Bethlehem was Joseph's hometown. And you ask, how do we know that? Let me tell you, Luke gives us that information. Because you see, there was an emperor named Caesar Augustus who issued a decree that there would be a census taken of the entire land. And in order to register for the census, you had to go to your hometown, the town of perhaps your birth or your family ancestry. And if you recall what we read this morning, Joseph was of the house of David. Of the house of David. And so Joseph, according to Luke, travels from Bethlehem to, or from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register because that was his hometown. The fourth thing we notice about Joseph is this. He was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. He was a man who was living according to God's way of life. He was a man who was very religious and following the Mosaic law. You say, how do we know that? Well, after Jesus was born, we find Mary and Joseph going to the temple on the eighth day after Jesus' birth. Jesus is circumcised and they follow the ritual of the law. Joseph was a righteous man who was diligent in following God's plan. The fifth thing we know is this: he was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. Now, Mark is the one who gives us this bit of information, the Gospel of Mark. The word that is used there for carpenter is tekton, and it really means craftsman. And, you know, we often think of Joseph being a carpenter, so he worked with wood. Probably not. He probably knew how to work with wood, but if you've ever been to Israel, you know there are more stones than there is trees. Joseph was probably one who was most skilled in working with stones. Many of the homes, that's what they were built with. That was probably Joseph's skilled trade, not making cabinets and tables and things like that. He was a carpenter, a craftsman, a tekton. And then the sixth thing we learn from the scripture is this, that Joseph was engaged to be married. He was engaged to be married to a young lady by the name of Mary. Now, this is the simple portion of the story. Because it was not uncommon for young men and young women to become engaged. It was a little bit different than our engagement today. Because probably it was an arranged marriage. In those days, a mom and dad would get together with another mom and dad, and they would choose a bride for their son. A price was paid, and then there was a year-long period of time called a betrothal or engagement period. Now, this engagement period, the betrothal period, was legally binding. Did you notice it said that Joseph considered putting her away or divorcing her privately? You say, wait, they weren't married yet. No, but in that day, the engagement was as binding as if they were married, and in order to break that, there had to be a legal writing of divorce. So it was a very serious thing. So we're in the year-long period from the engagement time until Joseph and Mary were to get married. So this is normal. It's simple. Life is moving along just fine for Joseph. The time for the wedding was getting closer and closer. And then it got complicated. You see, Joseph discovered that his wife-to-be was expecting a child. And he wasn't the father. And he knew he wasn't the father. They had not had any kind of physical relationship which would have led to pregnancy. That was forbidden during the betrothal period. And there were Mosaic laws that would come into play. So Joseph, simple, was engaged. Complex, now his wife-to-be is pregnant with someone else's child. Can you imagine with me for a bit the inner turmoil that was going on in Joseph's mind? No doubt there was anger, disappointment, shock. Maybe it was just a revolving door of anger, disappointment, and shock. How could she do this to me? I thought she was a pure young lady. I thought that she was godly. I can't believe this is happening to me. This is a nightmare. It can't be true. And as Joseph tried to sort out his emotions, figuring out what are my next steps, the scripture tells us, look at Matthew 1:19, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Here's where we get another glimpse of who Joseph was. Matthew says he didn't want to expose Mary to public disgrace. Joseph was not going to do anything to embarrass this one that he was supposed to marry. He could have humiliated her. He could have drug her name through the mud. And possibly in a moment of anger, because he was human like we are, he probably thought about that. But that's not what he did. He was a righteous man, and he was not going to do anything to harm this one that he was to marry. It seems that perhaps he did not make a hasty decision. He thought about this. Look at verse 20. But after he had considered this, he has taken some time. What do I do? Do I divorce her quietly? Do I marry her? What do I do? But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Let's think about this for just a few moments. Do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife. What do you think was running through his mind when he heard this? Was it fear? Could there be some hope? Maybe a bit of both fear and hope? I could imagine questions like this. How am I going to explain this to my family? What are my friends going to think? What will my neighbors think? They're going to think that we've been doing something we shouldn't be doing. And then when I tell them, well, no, this is something the Holy Spirit did, they're going to go, right. Right. Uh-huh, Joseph. We know that didn't happen. Maybe he was trying to figure out, how can I protect her from the whispers that would have spread like wildfire through the community? His mind was so much running through it. And I wonder that if it's probably true that in the moment, his situation felt hopeless. I can't explain what's going on. I don't even understand it. I know what the angel told me. I can't stop the angel or the people from wagging their tongues. I have my own questions and doubts. I just don't know what to do. This is so unbelievable. And yet the angel says, don't be afraid. Take her home to be your wife. No doubt there was fear, but I think there was hope, because look at verse 21 with me. The angel says, she will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. There was hope in those angels, in that angel's words. Hope That's assurance that it was right to marry Mary. Hope that no matter what happened or what people would say, this was something God was orchestrating. And perhaps even greater hope, because as a Jew, he would have heard from childhood the expectation from Scripture that a Messiah was coming, that a Savior was coming. And the angel had said, she's going to give birth to a son. Name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Could it be that Joseph was just anticipating, maybe? No way. Could it be that this child that Mary is carrying is the Messiah? Could it be? I have to believe that this caused some kind of excitement in Joseph's heart, some hope that maybe the one who is so long expected was coming. And maybe this was the child. One more thing that we notice about Joseph. Joseph walked in obedience to God. He didn't understand all God was doing. But notice with me, verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he went to his parents and said, "What am I supposed to do? Would you give me advice, Mom and Dad? This is a situation. Tell me what I should do." Is that what the scripture says? Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. What did that look like? I mean, surely there had to be a meeting of his parents and her parents and explanations and all of this, because then the marriage took place. Joseph married her in obedience to God. And although Joseph didn't know how it was going to end, the angel's words from the Lord, I believe, gave him hope, this steadfast assurance that God was in this and that God would walk alongside him and Mary as they faced this situation in their life, which seemed hopeless. He believed that God would walk with them on this journey, which he had no clue how it would end. He had hope in the midst of a situation that we described as simplexity, simple yet complex. Do you have hope? Do you have hope? Remember, hope is steadfast assurance. The definition in the dictionary means or says to expect with confidence or to have steadfast assurance. Did you know that we can have hope? Who is your hope in? What is your hope in? What are you trusting? When we looked at Joseph's life, we see from a human perspective, it was a bizarre situation and probably felt hopeless. The details were unbelievable. The angel says it's going to be okay. Marry her. The child she's carrying is from the Holy Spirit. Just didn't make sense. Yet because of his trust in God, he had hope. And I think for you and me this morning, as we face challenging situations in my life, have you faced a challenging situation in your life? Have you ever faced a situation where you said, it's hopeless? You haven't? Folks, we've all been in those situations where no answer seems right. We don't even know what questions to ask. It's overwhelming to us. So I ask you again, what circumstances are you facing today which gives you feelings of hopelessness? Maybe it's a decision that you have to make concerning your job and it's going to impact your family. And the tension is this. If I stay at this job, it brings a whole set of impossible circumstances. But if I go, there is uncertainty because I don't know where I'm going to go. And that brings stress and challenge. And neither choice is appealing. But you know you got to do something. It might feel hopeless. Maybe it's relationship struggle. Maybe you and a friend are kind of at odds and you don't know what to do. Maybe it's a family member or a marriage. And as you look at the options to try to resolve the issue, nothing seems right. Every option available seems to be a dead-end street. Feelings of hopelessness settle in. Maybe it's that God is tugging on your heart to step out in faith and to transition into some type of ministry role. Maybe he's calling you to trust him to reach out to a coworker or to a family member who doesn't know Jesus. But as you think about it, you're like, I don't know really how to say it. And if I do bring up Jesus and they have a negative reaction, is it going to impact our relationship? And there's doubts and uncertainties about it all. Seems like a hopeless situation. I don't know what your situation is. But I'm telling you this morning, there is hope. When we looked at Joseph's life, what we saw was God's sovereignty at work. And I want to declare to you this morning that God's sovereignty can be trusted in our lives. What does sovereignty mean? It means that God is fully and rightfully in control. And God's sovereignty can be trusted in our lives. And because he is sovereign, we can have hope. We are not hopeless people if we know Jesus and if we trust God's sovereignty. Here's what I know. God in his sovereignty may not resolve my hopeless situation the way I would like him to. He may not use the methods that I would expect him to. His timing may be completely different than our timing, but we can still have hope that he is doing what he's doing, and he's doing it well. And he's doing it for our good. Here are some things that we can have hope. Remember, hope is assurance. We can have hope that he is in control. We don't have to wander through life going, I don't know who's in control. No, we know he is. And if he is in control, we can trust him. We can have hope that he is in control. Secondly, we can have hope that he loves us. He tells us that he loves us. He proved that he loved us. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He loves us. We can have assurance that he loves us. Third, we can have assurance or hope that he will not leave us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are not going to be alone. Oh, you may feel alone in the moment because no one is around you, but let me assure you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not alone. You have hope. And maybe this, most of all, you have hope of heaven. You have hope of heaven. Eternal life. Folks, the Christmas story is a story of hope. Could I just point you back to what the angel said to Joseph in verse 21? She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's where hope comes in, despite our life circumstances. When life is going downhill fast, we can know our sins are forgiven. We can know that Jesus is walking with us. We can know that heaven is ours when this life is over. We have hope because our sins can be forgiven. Amen. That's a good amen spot right there. As we look at this story this morning, we've seen the simple. And we've seen the complex. But the simple truth is, we have hope because of Jesus. That's simple. That's not complex. Do you have hope this morning? And is your hope in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the hope that you bring. You looked at broken, sinful people, and even before you created us, you knew what humans were going to do. You put in motion the plan to give us hope. And what we read this morning from your word was the unfolding, the beginning of the unfolding of your story that gives us hope. Thank you, Jesus, for being that one who saves us from our sins. Father, I don't know the circumstances of everyone in this room. I don't know what hopeless situation people are in, maybe a few. God, I pray that wherever there is a feeling of hopelessness, that you will turn their hearts and minds towards you. May they recognize that in the midst of their circumstances, they have hope in Christ, that you are sovereignly in control, and that what you are doing is good. God, may we walk out of this room this morning filled with hope because of who our trust is in. May your blessings rest upon our congregation today, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.